Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, cause it's time for the podcast.
Welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. We've got a packed room today because we've got Roo Madge.
Hello.
You good?
Yeah, I am good. It's a packed room, you're right. I can verify that.
Okay, cool. Good. Thank you. This feels like this is a setup for a magician or some shit. And we've also got Ben Green. Is this the first time Ben and Roo Madge have been on the same, apart from the live?
The live, yeah.
The live, yeah.
Okay.
It's been a while since I've been invited back, but thanks.
You're always invited, Ben. It's just whether you choose to sort of, you know, me playing big shot exec and shit like that, so it's just difficult to get you on, mate. Do you know what I mean? But it's good to have you here.
We're blessed.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. Thanks.
But even more blessed than that, we also have in the room the legend Wale. How are you doing?
What's up, everybody?
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And we're not done there. DJ Money, how you doing?
What's going on with you?
How are you doing? Good.
And?
And what? And a glass full of pencils and some tissues and shit. I don't know what the fuck kind of party was going on there.
Some water and pencils.
Yeah.
How many pencils could you ever need?
I haven't seen a pencil in a long time, actually.
Yeah, that's true. I haven't seen a pencil in a
while. When is the last time you think you used a pencil?
I'm not sure, but I'm sure my handwriting was pretty trash because I don't think we don't need to write anymore.
Yeah, I do feel that.
When last time you wrote multiplication, like added something on a piece of paper, or multiplied something?
I don't know. Do they teach cursive still?
I don't even think.
Yeah, they do.
They do?
Well, they do my kids in Crawley. I mean, okay. I can't extrapolate that to the world's education system, but I know that my kids have been taught that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually get anxiety using a pencil. Like, if I have to write anything now, I can't do it.
Yeah, it's too much. Even when I do my signature, it's like, okay, all right, whatever.
It's the worst.
Yeah. Do you actually write your name?
I just kind of scribble something.
Yeah.
I'm a doctor.
You've just arrived this morning, right? Yeah. From where? Where do you live?
Oh, no, we came from Paris.
You came from Paris?
Yeah.
So what happened in Paris? How was Paris?
We had a show last night.
How was it?
And then Amsterdam the day before. It was good. It was dope. I didn't really have enough time to really touch down, like, you know, for real. Like, we just been working nonstop since we got to Europe.
And Amsterdam. How long were you in Amsterdam for?
A day.
And did you sample Amsterdam?
Oh. Yeah, we definitely sampled
Amsterdam. We sampled Amsterdam.
Pancakes.
Yeah.
What did you think?
It was good. I was there with Mark Ronson a couple years ago. It was dope.
Former guest.
They showed a lot of love.
Yeah, he's been a guest on here. You two have very similar energy, I feel like.
With me and Mark?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We both sarcastic.
Yeah.
He's a little bit more sarcastic than me.
He's very sarcastic. He's sort of Inception level sarcasm.
Yeah.
So what brings you to the UK then? Because you're doing a couple of things. First of all, you're doing a show.
Uh-huh.
Where's that show? That's at?
The show is at XOYO.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I knew it was XOYO, but I didn't know if there was some sort of cool way of... I don't know if it's pronounced XOYO. I thought it might be...
Is it?
I don't know.
They've been saying XOYO.
Okay, fine. Well, they know better than I do. I mean, I'm going to fucking freestyle what I think it's pronounced. But you're also doing this music video game crossover thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what's that about?
I don't know how to play Call of Duty. I'm trash. I just wanted to kind of infiltrate and try to learn how to play so I can beat people back home.
Have you played Call of Duty before?
Yeah, I'm really bad at that joint. I keep trying and it's demoralizing for real. But I'm getting the hang of it.
Are you playing online against other people?
No, I wouldn't dare.
Right.
I wouldn't dare to play online against so I can get cussed out by some 12-year-old.
No, that's the problem I've got is that my kids are into Fortnite.
I'm more Street Fighter and Ultimate Smash and stuff like that. I don't play them first-person shooters.
Yeah. Is Fortnite an online thing or?
Yeah, it's pretty
so
much
you play other people.
You drop onto an island.
Yeah.
You sound like such an old man.
I know.
You drop onto, my kids are young.
You drop onto an island.
Yeah.
And you have to kill everybody else on that island.
That's lovely. Yes. Yeah. Really good for the kids.
Well, definitely good for the kids.
Money, are you a video game fan?
I'm not really into games crazy. I actually did get a Switch. Because I'm trying to.
Well, you know, did you bring it on tour?
No, nah, I didn't bring it. Okay. No, I just got it.
No.
I just got it because he plays it a lot. But I haven't really got into games. I used to be like Grand Theft, 2K.
Yeah.
Like that was years ago.
Right.
Yeah. That was years ago.
I find that my reflexes are too shit now. So I'm trying to play Fortnite, but I'm crap at it, and my kids keep just fucking destroying me. It's just difficult.
As soon as you land, you're done.
Pretty much, yeah. And then like
they real good at it, man. Like we used to play Madden and all that other stuff. Like these kids is like they like 11 and they could just wash you in Call of Duty or all of them games, all them shooting games. They probably training us for like some type of war or something.
Yeah, I think there is a future in which kids are just connected to Fortnite, and actually
they're giving out scholarships for that. No, what I definitely get, they're giving out scholarships for Call of Duty.
Yeah.
No, this game, there's esports scholarships.
Right.
I was looking at something on the plane about esports, and they're really giving out scholarships to play video games. And these kids are making millions and millions of dollars playing this game.
Okay. Yeah, I don't. Those stories I find difficult because I'm sort of trying to get my kids off the games, and then they're sort of saying to me, "Well, it is a viable career option." And actually, there are people doing this that make more money than you do, Dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then it becomes tough for me to enforce.
But it's also like it's the same thing with anything. Like kids grow up trying to be in the NBA or whatever. The time that you put in oftentimes is like a matter if you're gonna make it or not. You know.
Yeah.
It just so happens that there's a lot more people playing video games than probably playing sports ever. You know what I'm saying? Because it's so easy to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
But do you find, like, we have this argument with hip-hop and the lyrical concerns of hip-hop and that influence of that on kids, right? And, like, people worry about their kids. My wife doesn't let me play hip-hop in the house because she says the kids are going to pick up on all the swearing and stuff like that. Mm. And I don't think it matters. But then she will let them play Fortnite. And you sort
killing
of think, like...
You're like walking around with a chopper.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to get more guns, Dad.
Yeah, yeah, I know, exactly.
Swearing to people online.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, like... taking headshots while dressed as a banana and shit like that. It doesn't. It feels like the morals of that are sort of slightly twisted. So you're just trying to do it to get into Call of Duty, right?
No. I mean, I wanted to show love to the gaming community. I'm just not good at that game. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I game though. I play a lot of sports games and fighting games and stuff.
What's your ultimate game that you're the best at?
I'm pretty good at Street Fighter.
Right. Who's your character of choice? Oh,
sorry. I got quite excited.
Ryan Ken for sure.
Yeah,
Ryan Ken. Yeah,
yeah. I play Ultimate Smash. That's kind of like I've been playing that a lot recently. But I just got like ADD when it comes to video games. I play something for like a month and never play it again, and then you know pick up another game for a month and never play it again.
Have you played Spider-Man on the PlayStation?
Yeah, yeah. But you know, games like that, it's like. I don't want to read a whole bunch of stuff. I just want to play.
You like the story game.
I like the story mode, but I don't need to read all the cutscenes. I know. I want to play. Like.
I know. Well, I had that problem with Batman, Arkham Asylum. I don't know if you played that game.
Yeah, I played it.
But you have to have, like, the amount of stuff you have to take on board before you can get to the next thing.
Yeah, it's
like,
too much.
There's too much space in my brain. No, I've not done that.
You have to like learn how to fish and like just eat and like you have to sleep.
What game?
Red Dead Redemption.
Oh yeah.
In real, like you sit there and like you can actually watch your character sleep for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's bonkers.
I know. Yeah. Somebody said to me, "I'm playing Red Dead Redemption, and I just want to sort of train up my horse." I thought, "What the fuck is this?"
Yeah, grooming. I've done 20 minutes of grooming. I'm not ashamed to say
what?
It. Grooming the horse.
Oh right. Okay. That's like Red Dead Redemption where you hang out at primary school.
Yeah, that's just a level of patience that I don't have.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No. Spider-Man gave me motion sickness, though, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like flying, like when you're going from wall to wall.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
I like the mechanics of the game, but it's just like. I think I got to one part and it was like too hard and I was like, all right, I'll come back to this and then never happened.
Yeah.
I've been playing this game called Cuphead recently.
Oh my God, Cuphead is fucking amazing.
It's really hard.
It is very hard. That's,
that might be the hardest game I've ever seen in my life. I was looking at this Watch Mojo list, the hardest video games like of all time, and Cuphead was like six on there. I was like, all right, I'm not crazy.
Yeah. The problem with Cuphead, though, is it looks so cute and lovely,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's how they trick you. It looks so, like, there's no energy bar, like, when you fighting somebody. Like, it's like you're just shooting. Like, the game could be fucking laughing at me right now, and I'm just shooting this motherfucker, and, like, he's not dying. You get 3 hits, and you're dead.
I know.
Like, that shit is hard, bro.
And also, the other thing is, like, so the
it's
game...
A, it's the most beautiful-looking game, though, that...
Oh, it looks like amazing.
Why
it looks
is it called Cuphead?
Because your head is a cup, but like, but you say you look.
It Occam's looks like it's like Occam's,
it's
totally
Occam's like razor, mate. The most
it's
simple
like a
explanation.
Cartoon. It's like an old.
Not even balancing a cup on.
No,
your head.
No, your head is actually.
Yeah, it's two cartoon brothers, and they're like cups.
Nice.
But it's they probably were on shrooms when they created this shit. But it looks like a cartoon. Like the animation is like the best I've ever seen.
Yeah, but what happens is that every level is a boss, right? Mm. And so you're shooting stuff out your fingers, and you're trying to kill the boss. But the bosses keep having they keep regenerating as like new things. It's very hard. I've not made it very far on it, but it's a great game. Ha! Ha! You've just released recently your album. Wow, that's crazy.
Yep. I just want 100% from a pretty woman. I just want a villa to fill up with green hunnids. I just want you niggas to know that I got the blues. I'm feeling like it's mighty, your BB the king humming. Why you niggas talking that thing, but ain't done it? How you niggas talking that crap, but can't cook it? Some of niggas ain't coming back because a snake or a rat, so I don't need me a map to find a zone. Yeah, who in, who out? What's the meaning of that title?
Wow, that's crazy. Is it something you say when you're underwhelmed by what somebody's saying to you, but you're trying to give them the reaction they want, right?
Or you could lose $100,000. Wow, that's crazy. Or you could win $100,000. Wow, that's crazy.
Or you could play Cuphead
and get the shit kicked out of you in Cuphead and be like, wow, that's crazy. You know. So it's the range of human emotions, like the good and the bad and everything in between. Wow, that's crazy means both, you know, good and bad.
Yeah.
So it's really just trying to.
Is it something you say?
Or I think everybody says it at some point, or some variation. Like, damn, that's crazy. Wow,
I would. I feel like. Pardon?
I definitely say it.
You do say it. I feel like the most often I would say it is if, like, you know, when somebody's showing you a YouTube video and they think it's really great.
it's not as funny to you.
Wow, that's crazy.
I think that probably says more about your attitude to life, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I can't think of the
last... In
fact,
the only time you showed genuine enthusiasm...
Maybe Mark Ronson was the first person to say, wow, that's crazy, because he's king of sarcasm.
Yeah, he is,
It should have been his album title.
His manager actually said to us, when he came on the podcast, he actually said to us, just so you know, there'll be times when you're talking to Mark and he looks like he really isn't interested in what you're saying, but he is involved in the conversation. Like, he sort of warned us.
Wish they would have warned me.
So what's your... We normally have guests on and ask them what their journey was into hip-hop. And so what is your... In terms of listening to hip-hop, how did you sort of come into this music?
I mean, as far back as I can remember, like, it's always been a part of my life. Like, my father used to drive cabs in D.C.
Yeah.
And I remember, like... If I was riding with him, whatever the passenger wanted to listen to, I would listen to.
Right.
And I'd be like 5 years old, 6 years old, listening to everything from country music to hip-hop to R&B to reggae. So, you know, music as a whole has been a part of, you know, my life.
Yeah. And were there any artists that sort of stuck out to you? Like, who were the first people that you really kind of got into?
Jay-Z, obviously, Lil Wayne, Bob Marley, Michael Jackson. But if we're talking specifically hip hop, I would say Jay-Z, Lil Wayne. I was a big No Limit fan when I was young.
We are you. All y'all motherfucking soldiers. I thought I told. Nigga, I'm busting me low, but I'm hitting them down with jokes. Y'all niggas on the rope. Got your hoe on the scope. Bitches watching me, jocking me, niggas blocking me, cocking, cause I'm the hardest motherfucker. Out here rocking, I got the game in shades. Got the niggas in blaze, I got them hoes on the raise. Because the nigga getting paid, I got niggas from coast slanging my dope. Got niggas and G's and rolling keys to record stores get paid.
Was there a snobbery in the States to the rise of No Limits? Because over here, like, hip-hop, I don't know how much you're aware of, like, the journey of hip-hop in the American hip-hop popularity in the UK. people had a snobbery about they always wanted to listen to East Coast hip hop, right? And so then even when West Coast hip hop came out, some UK hip hop fans were like, "Oh, I don't know about this." And then when the South came up, a lot of people, it took a while for people in the UK to sort of go, "I'm going to listen to that." Do you know what I mean? Did that come across in the States at all?
I don't think in DC it did, because it felt like DC, we had like our own bubble of like stuff that we like, 3 6, no limit and stuff like that. So I think it was like back where we're from, we had the artists from the South that we liked and loved before folks was really on it, period. Like, yeah. Devin the Dude, Scarface.
Scarface was real big.
Yeah.
In DC.
Yeah.
Big. Real.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, huge in DC. So, like, I think for us it was different because we always had our own little bubble of, like, stuff that we loved back home.
And was there any particular albums or anything that were sort of, you would say, stood out as your favorites?
I mean, growing up, like, Reasonable Doubt, it took me a while to really understand how great that album was.
I keep it fresher than the next bitch. No need for you to ever sweat the next bitch. With speed, I make the best bitch see the exit. Indeed, you gotta know you're thoroughly respected. By me, you get the keys to the Lexus. But no driving, got your own 96 something. The ride and keep your ass tighter than Versace. That's why you gotta watch your friends, you got to watch me. They connive and shit, the first chance to
400 Degrees Juvenile was important to me.
Right.
The Block Is High, Lil Wayne was important to me. There's One in Every Family by Fiend, that was an important album.
When the Smoke Clears, 3-6.
Yeah, 3-6 was, they had a great run in DC. I mean, like I said, like he said, it's like we was inspired by all of it, you know. I remember Snoop's first album, my cousin had the tape, and like I was like, damn, like, cussing. Like, you know,
yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? You know, but all of those kind of shaped it. And I feel like DC is just the perfect balance of everything. We never really felt like we're East Coast or the South or, you know what I'm saying, Midwest, none of that.
Yeah.
Black Star was a big album for me, too.
Oh, yeah.
Black Star was huge for me.
Michael Jackson. Are you still listening to Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
And did you watch the Leaving Neverland documentary?
Nah.
You got no interest in watching that?
Not at all.
No? I can't lose Mike and R. Kelly the same year. Can't lose them both. Not the same year.
So maybe watch next it
year.
Next year.
Like next year, maybe I'll watch it. Steps, yeah.
Did you watch the R. Kelly one?
Yeah.
That was...
I mean, but we knew that already, right?
Yeah, it felt like... It felt
the
like
fact that they had to do a part two. Like, we get it, bro.
We get it.
We know.
We did it.
Like, how do you have a part two of some shit we knew before part one?
Right. I don't understand. Like, what's gonna happen now?
We don't want to know.
Like, this time we have footage. Like, what's going on? Like, what's going on? It's crazy.
I was doing a show that he was a guest on before it all came out. Like about 2 or 3 months before, he was great on it. But anyway, he came back and then it seemed very funny at the time. Like he started like dancing in like, we're having like all the crew were eating. He came in and started dancing like with like the female members of the group. They were of age, they were like 30s. But it all, and then suddenly you look back at it and it's like, it's mad.
Grubby. Like he's started like, playing. They're 30, they're not my type.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no interest.
Yeah, he looked. You know, bored and disappointed by the age range, but it's mad. Also, one of the ideas was he had a limo and there was just a procession of girls that came through and he would sit in the limo and be singing his song and all the girls would just come through and he'd dance with them a little bit and then they'd get... That was not an idea.
Tried to tell us he was the Pied Piper.
I know.
Yeah. Did they grow up
as they went through the cars?
Yeah. It was like the evolution of man. Do you know what I mean? They sort of get bigger and older. Yeah, shit. Right. It's crazy.
The Pied Piper, man.
Yeah.
He told us.
That never aired, by the way, in case you're wondering what that went.
No, it feels like a good decision.
Definitely a great decision.
Yeah. But I watched, there was something on Netflix that was like 8 parts or something.
Yeah, that was Surviving R. Kelly.
Yeah.
That.
It just sounds scary, surviving.
Yeah, I watched every minute of it.
Oh, did you? And did you survive?
Regardless of what, if you notice in the show, they just talk about how great his music is.
Did that,
do
yeah,
everything.
Yeah.
Do yeah. all that. They're like, man, but his music.
Yeah.
Even the women, I was like, yo, this is wild. Like,
he got away with that thing for a while, man.
But in that thing, they were saying, like, even like, at the very beginning, when he first started getting famous, he was one of those, you know, when you're at school and there's one older guy that came in like a nice car and started like,
he'd turn up
and a cigar like, at McDonald's. Like, it was really weird.
He was one of them. Yeah. It just feels like he didn't need to do that.
Has his music come off streaming sites and stuff?
No.
Because
so many other artists that done a lot of stuff, I just feel like it'll just start a an effect of like, we'll start looking into everyone.
Because
there's so many artists that's been actually tried and was guilty of stuff that are still on streaming. No one says nothing. But of course, this is just so bad. It's just like, all right, we gotta relax. No more Thoyathol. No more Fiesta's over.
There's no more Fiesta.
So you're deliberately distancing yourself, not distancing yourself.
From Kelly.
No, sorry, I didn't mean that.
Definitely.
I mean, you're deliberately turning a blind eye to the whole Michael Jackson documentary, right?
I'm not saying it's a blind eye, but I just don't believe like that. I don't believe, like, from what I've seen from like the trailer and stuff.
Right. Oh, you're not having it.
And he can't defend himself, you know what I'm saying? So
that's the other thing.
It's so convenient, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I think Mike was dealing with things, but I think that people is trying to
I think he was weird and just made like some bad, I think he said some bad things and folks be like, "Whoa," like, cuz he just grew up very like different and weird, you know what I'm saying? So I think a lot of times he might have said some stuff that might throw folks off. Like, yeah, come on, guys, we can just go relax. And like, what? Like, no, that's not cool.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I just think he had a skewed reality.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean. But I ain't watching that though.
Well, there was some weird. Like,
I heard it was a lot though.
Yeah,
it was a lot.
A lot of detail.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that they go into the detail of what they actually claim happened. So like, I was used to up to that point hearing about the rumours, but then when they actually get into the detail of it, you go, fuck, man, I didn't know they were going to, like, it is a lot.
And that victims have matching stories as well, seemed.
Yeah.
I met a guy who was such a massive Michael Jackson fan, he'd spent every penny he earned on memorabilia. He changed his name officially changed his passport to Michael Jackson. And then he saw that doc and then has changed it back. Like, he was like, that did it for him.
But I feel
which is mad. And I also met another
paperwork.
Like, yeah. But that, I mean, the level of, I mean, he was a huge fan. It's kind of bonkers, yeah.
I do feel, regardless of whether Michael Jackson been accused of it or not, that is the correct decision for him to make, is to change his name back.
Yes. It was the correct decision in the first place.
I think, if anything, whatever you say about that documentary, it has contributed that positively to the world. But that idiot changed his name back.
Facts.
Agreed.
On the passport, I'm like, whoa.
I know.
Calling a lawyer.
With all due respect, Michael Jackson is a pretty common name. His name is not
Tupac
Shakur Mustafa. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's Jeff Johnson, Jeff Smith, Michael Jackson.
You could get away with
being Michael Jackson, bro.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
I think it's just a lot, though, just the process.
Yeah, I'm just saying, in all intents and purposes, like, if somebody said my name is Michael Jackson, it's like,
yeah.
I bet it is Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that is true. That is a good point, actually.
Probably be more surprised if you met a Michael Bolton.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Michael Bolton. There you go.
Yeah.
You change your name to Michael Bolton,
you're a different type of psychopath.
Yeah, you made a decision there.
Yeah.
It's possible that you just like the name Michael Jackson and you like the music, so it's all worked out pretty well. Mm. You didn't change your name.
I bet you there's probably like 3 semi-famous Michael Jacksons around somewhere. Okay. I bet you if I ask Wikipedia, it'll tell me there's some other Michael Jacksons that were like in the Senate.
Is there an actor named Michael Jackson?
I feel like there's been like 3 football players named Michael Jackson.
Definitely a football player. Some offensive lineman for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that one of them.
Mike Jackson.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that one of them wasn't born. He actually changed his name because he's such a fan. He wasn't even born Michael Jackson.
I'm pretty sure there's some that were before said Michael Jackson. Siri, how many Michael Jacksons is there?
You actually asking?
Nah, but I'm gonna. We can continue. We can just get back to that. I'm gonna see something. I have to see something real quick.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, what are you guys listening to at the moment then, hip-hop-wise?
Man, what, Griselda, of course.
Griselda album is great, right?
Running this shit, it's not even close. The double law, color nan, and the shoddy is close. That's the Buffalo niggas, they catch the bodies the most. 30 on my hip, I bet I will not get approached. My son gon' be a hustler, I see it all in his eyes. I pull on the back seat every foreign I drive. My connect like dominoes, I can order a pie. I hit him back like matter of fact, I want all your supply.
Yeah, it's a great album. What am I listening to? I've been listening to a lot of old stuff because I'm not really...
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Sounds like a hook.
Michael Jackson. There's 9 Michael Jacksons in the entertainment industry.
Who's the most famous one?
Who's the most famous one? Oh, right, thank God. You got to open with after. Like,
There's a Mike Jackson who's an Australian entertainer.
Right.
There is... Okay, that's Mick Jackson, but... Mike Jackson, okay. Mike and Michelle Jackson is an Australian duo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Michael's in Australia.
And there's some guy from Gary, Indiana called Michael Jackson, but I don't think you guys have ever heard of him.
There's a writer named
Michael Jackson, director.
Right.
Yeah, so it's, Michael Jackson's a pretty common name.
Yeah, it's a pretty common name.
Okay, that's good to know.
Oh, so there's these are sports Michael Jacksons. That's a lot. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
The more you know.
Did you claim that Michael Jackson wasn't a common name?
No. I didn't. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I came into this today with very little understanding of how many Michael Jacksons there were. Yeah. So it's good to get it. It's good to get it cleared up. You learn something every day. There's a British comedian who's really sort of like posh. His name's Will Smith.
I thought you were going to say his name Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
There you go. Will Smith is another common name.
Yeah. Yeah.
His friend should change his name to Will. He's actually a great guy. His friend should change his name to Will Smith.
Yeah. He's not your friend.
He's not. Can I just clarify? Yeah. He's not my friend.
He's not
a bad guy.
He don't have no biographies coming out or no scandals.
The most terrifying would be somebody that changed his name after the documentary. Yeah, that is
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, yeah. No, I wanted to show my commitment.
I bet you their ass up. That wouldn't surprise me.
So you listened to the Griselda album. What else?
Yeah, Griselda, Rowdy Rich. What else
is this? Rowdy Rich is making some good stuff.
Yeah, Rowdy Rich album.
Obviously, Meek, Ross.
Yeah.
Drake, Future. There's a lot of music is coming out too. I can't even keep up no
Every
more,
Every Friday,
man.
It's 1,000 albums.
Yeah.
I know, it's difficult,
it's
right?
It's hard, man.
Do you feel a responsibility to stay across all of that?
I try, man.
I don't listen to music that much. I'm tired, man. I be like, I make music, I'm torn. I'm like, bro, I gotta not listen to music for a while. Like, I need a break. My music, they music, everything. I just can't sometimes. Like, it's too much music coming out too fast, man.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for me, like me spinning, I have to kind of like keep up.
Yes.
So I try to listen as much as I can, but it's so much, like, in all genres, like. Hip hop, country, electronic, everything.
And everybody's in the same little bubble. Like, everybody's fighting for the same little, you got Tyler the Creator, Lil Nas X, and everything in between. You know what I'm saying? It's all
hip hop. It's like all one thing, and that's kind of weird to me too.
Do you feel like you have to have some sort of awareness of what's happening, or do you feel like you're operating in your own lane and I'm just going to do what I do? And, you know, are you thinking that other influences are beneficial or might dilute what you're trying to do? I mean, what's your attitude?
I think it dilutes the genre in general, you know what I'm saying? Not just me, but I mean, I just focus on mine. I just, you know, worry about mine and just, I push the envelope, like, with my own stuff, but I don't really focus on. That's one of the reasons why I don't listen to nothing, as much as him, at least.
Yeah. And do you feel like the amount of music that's coming out now, you're trying to make, you're making art, right? And the way that is, the amount of it that's coming out, I mean, you're talking about like every Friday 100 albums comes out. It's very difficult to get what you've worked very hard on, appreciate in the way that you might like, right?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a lot of noise. It's like, you know, but it's all subjective in any ways, though. But, I mean, it's frustrating, like, knowing that, like, you worked 2 years on a project, and it could be, like, there's people that be like, yo, I made this album in a week, and, like, you can tell that you made it in a week. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can tell, like, I ain't really put no effort into it, but they kind of get... You know, there might be some snobby writer, some ironic writer that's trashing the shit you've been working on for so long, and they'll be like, yo, this is the new, this is so fire. Like, you can hear the punch-ins. That's so artistic. It's so artistic how it's not on beat. Like, you don't get it yet. Like,
it's ahead of its time.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and he doesn't need a snare.
Yeah, like, there's no music. There's no beat. Pootie Tang. It's just like, it's frustrating when it comes down to that, because sometimes it's like it's a money thing. Like, you know, you're not getting the reviews, or you're not getting it heard by some people because this and that is in the way. And this and that is not even really music. You know what I'm saying?
So then, what is your incentive to spend the amount of time that you do working on your music?
I'm just
in that climate.
I'm a masochist. I don't love myself.
Right.
I hate myself and I torture myself by making music. Like, I can't stop.
Well, we're addicted. You should be a stand-up.
Yeah. We kind of like addicted to it. Like we had this big ass crib in the hills, right? And we was there, and like, we'd be like, it was like five of us standing there, and they'd be like, all right, fuck that. We're not recording today. We're not going to record for 2 days. And then it'd be like 2 o'clock, and niggas be out, like,
well, let me just play one beat.
And then we end up in the studio again, all fucking day, all night.
And I think, too, it's about legacy, too, because I feel like I'll always say there's a difference between songs and records.
Right.
And I think that, like, when it comes to, there's a lot of songs that come out now, but we grew up in an era where, you know, the stuff that we love were records, you know what I'm saying? The Michael Jacksons, the Jay-Z's, the stuff that we could still talk about 10, 20 years later. So I think us chasing that too as well is another reason we really try to make sure that we stay creative and creating, just because we also know the fan now is, even though the music is dumber down more, the fan, I feel like when it comes to real fans, are smarter. So it's like we know that 5 years from now, they're going to go back and appreciate different things that, you know, that they might not have caught the first time they heard stuff, you know?
Yeah.
The projects.
So when your album came out, was it like second half of last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you consider to be a success then? What are you looking for? Are you looking at reviews? Are you looking at what people tell you when they bump into?
Success is essentially this, like, you know, sold out shows, you know, the Torben's, you know, we're doing like 2,000 capacity rooms in the state. So, you know, that to me, that's like, you know, I did something right.
Coming
on this podcast, the reward as well.
Yeah, you guys are having me. I did something right. You know, there's no documentaries out.
No, not yet. But that, if anything, that'll add value to the work. Do you know what I mean? It becomes like a collector's item, doesn't it?
Put this on vinyl and...
Yeah.
Remember that time before the doc came out?
Yeah. And Joe, he was talking about it so freely on that podcast. Yeah. He knew the whole time that I was about to drop about him.
Oh, God.
I think that one of the advantages of so much music coming out is that people, we always have generations where people say hip-hop is dead or it's over or it's moving in a direction that I don't like or whatever. This is what hip-hop fans constantly are saying, right? And obviously there is great hip-hop being put out and there's different, as you said, it's such a wide genre and there's loads of different. Do you feel like, are you trying to, do you feel like it's in a good state now? I mean, do you think that we're in a good position hip-hop-wise? Because it feels like there's some people that would say, there's some people that I know that hip-hop fans that would say it's dead. It's like there's it's not what it was. And there's other people that say that we're in like a golden age.
They've been saying that since the inception of hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? Like they've always been saying every genre, every era hates the one next to them and or the, you know, the one that's coming and the one before them. They've been saying that. And it's always been evolving. It's never going to be the same. It's the genre that is the ever evolving genre, and it's the only one that's like that.
Yeah. What do you think of the argument that it's evolved? Like, because even though all of the evolutions that hip hop has gone through, one of the things that's always been like considered important is having skills, like on the mic or on as a DJ or whatever.
Right.
And that feels like, I mean, you sort of, we all could name rappers now who we feel like actually can't throw down. And also, but it's not even a matter of can't throw down.
Right.
They don't give a shit about being able to throw down. Do you know what I mean? So like,
I think every era had whack rappers.
Right.
So it's like, I feel like every era had that. So I just think that now is where this era is more carefree in how they make music.
Yeah.
Which is a good and bad thing. You know what I'm saying? I think that it's something to be endeared some, just because it's like a lot. We were so worried about how we make stuff 5-10 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Of being afraid to try certain things and certain vocal things, and now it's like, you know what? Let's fuck it. Let's just see what happens. And now it's just, there's subcultures of all types of stuff. I mean, they're whack rappers every year, so it's hard to just distinct that.
So you think that's a myth, do you? That it's sort of like,
yeah. I mean, don't get twisted. There's probably something that's worse now,
right.
Than but prior.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yes, there's whack rappers in every year.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true. And later we're going to discuss the ones that are whack from the previous eras. I would love to have that conversation off.
Yeah.
But not in here.
You can do that.
No face, no
case. That'd be a good mixtape.
Yeah, that'd be.
A whack rapper
playlist.
Yeah.
Whack rapper playlist.
That'd be a, oh man, nigga, pissed.
I think actually, after a while, that would start to become enjoyable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whack shit.
Yeah, like if
you're watching the shit movie, right? And you sometimes you're watching the shit movie, and then you kind of get like into the like I'm
like
kind
so
of
bad
I'm kind
good.
Of interested. No, I'm just kind of interested in the story.
See, this is why I don't watch movies that are trash, because see, I have to know how it is.
Yeah, exactly, and that's like whack, enjoying a whack rapper.
Like I'll be honest. Like so, one time my ex started me watching Jane the Virgin, which is a show, right?
Is it a bad show?
No, the show is actually decent, but it's not a show I would normally watch.
Right. You had to see what?
I had
and you benched it.
Six more seasons I had to watch because...
How I Met Your Mother. Like, damn, how the fuck did you meet this bitch? Like,
did they ever say?
Like, I was like, man, they made a show about this shit. Like, damn, okay, it's Bob Saget voice, but why is not Bob Saget? And then I'm like, yo, all right, season... Now I catch myself in, like, season 37, like... Nigga, I meet the bitch already, so I can stop watching this shit, man. Like, and then next thing you know, that shit is all on my fucking iTunes, and people on my computer like, yo, you be watching this shit? It's a long story, man. Yeah, I want to know how he met the fucking Joan. Yeah. I want to know how he met her.
Is it finished? Do you know now?
Yeah, we found
out. Finish, yeah, but
that shit was, that was an uproar. Like,
was it worth the wait?
I'm a little ashamed to tell you how into it I was, because I'm part of the community that was disappointed of the season finale, and I was like, damn, I'm that invested in the show that I'm upset about this, how the shit ended.
Which one was worse, that or Game of Thrones ending?
See, I never watched the Little Dragon Show.
I say I didn't watch that either.
I never watched the Dragon Show.
I just saw the internet go crazy. Nah. That the show was trash.
Why did you not watch that show?
I mean, nah.
That genre is not...
It's like playing Call of Duty. I don't have the patience. I gotta watch some instant shit, like some shit that's like 30 minutes... I gotta read the subtitles if I watch Game of Thrones.
Right.
I gotta focus.
Like, do you know, I do find, because I've started watching Game of Thrones now, right? I'm midway through season 2.
Okay. Is it and good?
I like it.
Okay.
I mean, if you like dragons and fucking, there's loads of both of those things. Do you know what I mean? But the thing is, they like bring up characters really quickly and then refer to them like you should know who they are. It's very difficult.
You remember from season one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all that shit. Yeah. Have you watched every episode of Seinfeld?
Yes.
Because you love Seinfeld, right?
Yeah. That's a perfect show.
Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah, not all of them, but I love Curb. I love Curb too.
Ben, you're obsessed with Curb, right?
Yeah.
You've been watching the new series.
And are you obsessed with Seinfeld?
I'm not as obsessed. I think you have to be American and have lived, I don't know, been around in that era. Like, as in, I was around in that era, just wasn't watching Seinfeld. But like, I think it's such an American phenomenon. Do you like Seinfeld?
I do like it, yeah. It's good. I mean, you can't not like it, can you?
You can like it, but
you're legally allowed to not like it.
Is there any dragons in it?
I think Curb is better.
I think it's
you think Curb's better?
Better than Seinfeld, yeah.
Wow. I'll be honest, like, Curb definitely has his moments. I do feel like it is one of the few shows that that stopped and came back like it never left. Like, it might be even better now than it was when it first came on.
Yeah.
I don't know, though, Ben. I don't know, man. That's tough.
Do you watch Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee?
Yes.
Their thing, Jerry Seinfeld's thing, where, like, for example, he would look at that with the pencils in, there'd be 45 minutes on that shit. Right. I don't have that in my locker. Do you?
Well, I said there was a lot of pencils in it earlier.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. Yeah, it was good. It was a good bit of improv. Yeah. It was a great bit of improv.
Thanks, man.
So well done for that. Is there anything about hip hop you don't like?
Anything in hip hop?
About hip hop?
We got time?
Next question. I love everything. I love everybody 24/7. I'm happy. Everything's great.
Okay.
Well, I don't have as much to lose, so be honest with you. I think the production has got kind of minimalistic a little bit.
Right.
It used to be a little more dynamic, but outside of that, I mean, you know. Gotta take the good with the bad, you know. So there's something out there for you in the streaming genre.
Yeah,
something out there for you.
So I guess if I was to translate that, I guess what you both are sort of saying is there's a lot of shit out there that you don't like, that you're not willing to name.
I like everything. What are you talking about?
I don't believe you.
I like everything all the time.
Yeah, okay, you like everything all the time. Mm-hmm. But there's some stuff that the production isn't as dynamic.
Yeah. Okay. For sure.
Did you get that from when he said the production wasn't as dynamic?
Well, I sort of tried. Basically, I'll tell you what happened.
Is that how you worked that out?
I basically tried to do some. I tried to add some inference, and then Wale completely disagreed with me. So then I thought, shit, I shouldn't try and interpret this. I'm just going to take this literally.
Say what they say again.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've got to wrap this up, guys, because you've just arrived and you've got loads of shit to do. So, but thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having.
What
us.
Are you? What have you got coming up that you want us to shout out? Because this is massive. This podcast,
man. Obviously the show tomorrow and the album Wow That's Crazy Everywhere, and that's pretty much it, man. Going hard for the album right now.
Alright, well listen, thank you so much for coming on, man. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having us.
It's been a difficult room for me to wrangle.
You've done an incredible job.
Right? No, I wasn't saying it. I wasn't saying it for that. It's just the most people we've had in the room for the podcast. Do you know what I mean? But I think it's come off great. Yeah. I think it's the best episode we've had. So thank you so much, guys.
Thanks for lying to us. We ended on a high note. No, I'm just fucking.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.